Anyway, moving on, we're now to the main event. Mayor Jim Lawinger has served on the council since January 2002. He is currently in his second term as mayor. He's a native of Portland, Oregon. He also received a BS in business from Portland State College and a master's degree in retail marketing from New York University. He's been a resident of Kirkland since 1988, and Jim has owned and operated several local retail establishments. Jim has been an active member in the regional community organizations, two terms as board chair of the Kirkland Chamber of Commerce, past president of the Kirkland Rotary, past board chair of the Park Place Merchants Association, 1995 graduate and past board member of the Leadership Institute, and served as a chair of the board chair of HopeLink. He's also been honored with the 1995 Kim Folk Award. Without further ado, Mayor Jim Lawinger.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Mr. Chuck Morgan, Mr. Executive Director, members of the board, and members of the Chamber of Commerce. Was that the appropriate order? I'm delighted to be with you today, and I am always comfortable when I get in front of this group, looking at Betty talking, similar time period, and it was just a ton of fun being involved with the chamber under your leadership, Betty. As I look around the room, I see a lot of familiar faces, people that I grew up in business with in Kirkland. But in a way, those days of those economies have gone by the way, and all of us are now facing new dilemmas within which we have to operate our businesses. This discussion, like we're having today, in a way, has to become very future-based and very anticipatory towards the trends that are altering our economies. The comments that I'm going to make today are contained in a brochure from Associated Washington Cities. It's called State of the Cities. These comments are very broad-based, from border to border in the state of Washington. What is the situation in running and operating cities? Bill Vedino has a copy of this. There is a website that he will have this downloaded on, and we'll be able to give you copies if you wish. So what is our future? What is to be the future? In operating cities, and a lot of what we talk about is not too different than operating any business, there are two major interconnected struggles that cities from border to border, including Kirkland, have taken shape and await our attention. Number one struggle. Operating budget revenues are no longer sufficient to support the level of services required by our citizens, by community priorities, and by federal and state requirements. Struggle number two, competing but joining that one. City infrastructures are generally much too high at a level in terms of need for both residences and businesses to sustain and attract growth. Basically, in the city business, city revenues no longer keep pace with expenditures, leaving many cities struggling to fund just basic services. Basic services. Let's identify basic services. You all know in this room, from listening to the city and working with the city, that a huge portion of our basic services is police and fire, public safety. We have done a good job in Kirkland in funding with dollars that we've had in bank capacity and with other revenues to keep our police and fire at a high degree of response and are able to reach anybody in Kirkland within a good response time. This is not true around the city. The fact is, at our retreat last year, we first heard while we were sitting around a table that it came over the internet that a city in California, Vallejo, saddled with a fairly significant police and firefighter overtime bill was considering bankruptcy. And indeed, in the process of that, they did seek bankruptcy. Public safety is a very expensive endeavor. The writer in the Seattle Times and across the country in newspapers, including business journals and journals that that write for cities, Neil Pierce, wrote a very telling article about 60 days ago that addressed this whole issue and the politically protected status of public safety and the unions' politically protected status that might be looked at and challenged over the years. So determination of that is beginning to be shaped as we stand here today. The next basic service that I'd like to talk about is streets. In a way, streets become almost a microcosm of what operating a city is all about. Listen to this. We will have this report, I believe, Daryl, at the next city council meeting. Right when I first got on council, I believe we were somewhere below $1 million a year for protecting our streets. It was the fund that would keep the streets at an appropriate pavement condition index, PCI. We were spending not quite $1 million to make sure that the streets had enough overlay, that the cracks were sealed, that the cracks near the cement curb and the gutter and the street were sealed so water seeping in, freezing, cracking, didn't continue to deteriorate the streets. We moved that up to about $1.5 million within a few short years. We are now looking at a capital improvement plan that calls for between 2009 and 2014 of $2 million a year. Now, when I asked Ray Steiger what that buys us, he says, well, that'll start us at 65% of this pavement condition index. Our streets will be about 65% of being worthwhile streets. But spending only that $2 million over the next 10 years will have a general degradation of the PCI to 55%. And he said, and there's where big problems start. So if we can't keep the streets in the appropriate condition, and it would take about $6 million a year to keep them at a 65 to 70% rate and ensure good life for the streets, then we will see a major problem coming up in the future, very much like the whole process of running the city government. If we don't continue to maintain the streets will have a major problem that we will have to answer in future years. The entire budget for transportation that this $2 million a year is included in is about $46 million funded. We are troubled right now. We have a backlog of projects that we just haven't had enough engineers available to really pull off. So we're running behind. But the amount of unfunded transportation needs in the CIP is about $200 million. How will we ever reach $200 million? I traveled around Washington doing some of the stuff that I do when I'm not here. And I go through towns, and most recently I went through a trip, I forgot what road I was on, over towards the coast. I went through towns like Montesano, Satsop, desperate little communities that streets were totally broken up. You were driving over chunks of asphalt this big, broken up. And you have to wonder, where will those towns ever be able to get the dollars? Because now it's expensive. It's not an overlay. It's digging it up and putting down new surface and building a whole new road. They will never get the dollars in those towns from the state, from the feds, from anybody to be able to do that. So that's a critical issue with us. Likewise, one of the critical issues of infrastructure needs with cities from border to border and to a degree of Kirkland right now is that we're all old cities. I don't recall where I got this, but I think someone told me early on that we still have wooden pipes somewhere, maybe under Kirkland, maybe they're all gone now. But we were a city old enough to have wooden pipes at one time. We are budgeting about $27 million over the six-year CIP, capital improvement project, but we have $68 million waiting on projects that are really important and really critical. There's one huge project west of Market that has an enormous price tag on. Is that correct, Daryl? Thank you. Parks. One of the other top basic services is water and sewer as a priority. So we aren't funding it enough to get where we think we need to be. It's a basic service that you all expect. another basic service. And Kirkland certainly is our parks and recreation activities. We are basically just covering the needs and trying to hold our own on a $10 million capital improvement budget that only covers improvements along our path with Waverly and Juanita and some funds for open space acquisition. We have $75 million waiting to be funded. So what has happened? Times have changed. We changed in how we successfully operate cities. We have, as I mentioned at this time last year, and I took the message to all of our neighborhoods, that we are highly reliant upon sales tax dollars now in the city. Sales tax dollars are very volatile throughout the state. And in the business of running and operating towns and cities, you are looking at providing steady service, steady, ongoing services, level of service that you all want and wish and desire. It's important to attract people to Kirkland. But we can't operate them with revenues that have a volatility to them. But all cities have chosen to do that. The continued attractiveness of the initiative process is a change, and it continues. And I know we have something in the wind right now in the Tim Eyman camp for a new initiative. The changing relationship of the federal and state and local governments. We don't get the support out of the federal government. We are not getting the support out of the state government that we all grew up with when we first got into public service. The decline in state shared revenues. Once we crossed the path of MVET a number of years ago, earlier in the 90s, we took a very hard $200 million hit in cities from border to border, important dollars in operating the city. And we also have a continued pace of an anti-government sentiment and distrust. And through all of this, what we see is the winnowing of local tax base. And complicating all of this is the fact that over the last two decades plus, we have had an 80% increase in annexation activities in the state. And we've gone from 51% in 1975 of our population living in cities to 61% of our population living in cities. But what that means is that you have more people challenging these aging infrastructure systems. And that's what we're supposed to do, because to build new systems out into the hinterland to support sprawl is very costly. We don't want to do that any longer. We want to compact, but at the same time, now you're looking at old systems that cannot handle the capacity. I mentioned last year one of the books I was cleaning off my shelf, Megatrends. Many of you remember that book. One of the megatrends was everything would go local. And indeed, I think that it has. Today, everybody knows there is a local government and that there is a mayor and a city council. Indeed, this thing goes all day for council members like Tom Hodgson, myself, city manager, of people saying, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Council Member, what's this garbage piling up out on my curb all about? Mr. Mayor, Mr. Council Member, Mr. City Manager, what did you do with the streets? And on and on and on, constant. So we know that locally you can find someone that actually will answer your question and do something about it. County, David, my apologies, but the county, we don't know. Most average people out there don't know what's going on in the county. If we have it, where do you find them? And how do you get them to solve your problem? Olympia, we know Olympia is the state capital, and there's a dome building with something shiny on the roof, but we don't know all that goes on there. We don't know if we can really find someone to answer our questions about the snow and the garbage and all that. Federal, I think we divorced them. I think they're gone. So what it is that anything you need to get done, you got to get done locally. And I like that. That's the way it probably should be. But you combine that with the factors that I talked to you before in terms of how we're funding our local governments, and you have conflict. So what is to be the response and our course for the future? Cities must work with citizens and the business community to clearly prioritize our service levels, and we need the entire community at the table involved. We have taken some serious steps to begin the study of the government by priorities from Redmond, by a number of other studies, but this isn't something you just do today. we will look at it and have that potentially in place by the next time we sit down and do another biennial budget. We want to do something better that works better for the citizens of Kirkland, but we're going to need all of you in this room and our neighborhoods to help us set the priorities of what we're going to spend our money on, because we don't have enough money to do all that most cities are doing today. Next, cities like Kirkland must develop and present sustainable budgets. Big buzzword right now. Anything sustainable is a buzzword, but sustainable budgets, budgets that we don't have to come back to year after year to try and do structural changes. And that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to do structural changes so that we can live two or three bienniums connected together without digging deep into the heart and soul of the city expense structure. We must continue to invest into the community with real thoughtful economic development programs that Ellen Miller Wolf brings to us. One that comes to mind that was really important to this entire council with a 7-0 vote. The last vote of the last meeting of the year was Park Place. And I think we all had a lot of comfort and thrill in doing so. And I know Ellen is very excited. The development community is very excited. When I look at Kirkland, we can't fund ourselves, obviously, from a lot of sales tax growth. It doesn't happen as much as we want it to. We don't have the room for mega retailers. Retailers also, overfunding retail brings a wage scale of about $12 an hour to the table, not benefits, and probably a long commute. So we're really putting more people on the street to commute back and forth to work. What we ought to be doing, which I think fits well with Park Place and with Kirkland's goals, is to develop a growing base of better paid jobs, high tech, professional, financial services, insurance, where we have a higher pay scale. People can afford to live in Kirkland, raise a family. And when you think about it, I was having a beer in Wild Rover, and the place is filled. And you walk in, you say, what recession? But it was young people. And you see that regularly throughout Kirkland and the downtown area. And I believe, I haven't had an update, but the last time I saw the sales tax report by business district downtown was up about 6.5%. A lot of it in eating and drinking. Nothing wrong with that. Now, these are young kids, maybe from Google, that come down and they don't cook. Maybe they live in Kirkland, maybe they don't. But see, that is the kind of activity we want. We want people that have jobs that pay well, that can enjoy our city services and potentially live and raise a family in Kirkland. Last of all, we must become good stewards of our infrastructure systems. All council members must fully consider and know of in setting utility rates and establishing healthy utility reserves, the cost, the future cost of doing those businesses. Because when the time comes that they need to be repaired and replaced, we must have the money there. AWC in this report estimates that over 50% of the state's underground infrastructure is in need of repairing. That's frightful. And this is costly, because you're talking about pipe, you're talking about cement, you're talking about long, big projects. And we've seen a number of them in Kirkland over the last couple of years. But we have underground systems being challenged throughout the state. And last of all, we need to probably face the music and say we're not going to get a lot of reliance on the state. Now, we will, and we will apply, and we'll look for grants, and we'll look to petition the legislature to help us on certain projects, but we better not sit back and depend on it in the future. That's not part of the equation. So to finish this chat we're having, I'm sure you'll want to say something back to me, is that also in megatrends was another one, and it was, well, I think I mentioned it last year, is that one of the other megatrends is that we would move from a representative democracy, people elected that represent you, to a participatory democracy. And back when I read the book, I had no idea probably what that was. I underlined it. But I don't think I had any idea of what a participatory democracy was until I pulled into Kirkland and do the work that I do now with city manager and staff and the other council members. is that we have a very engaged citizenry that comes and wants to take part, want to help us make the decisions. This is what we were just talking about it. And so that's arrived. That one is for sure. But there, and when I looked at the process that we went through with Park Place, and they're still there, both sides of my desk, there's a pile of letters to me here that are against Park Place and an equal size one over here for Park Place. And then you have the emails. I have emails that I would love to sit here and read you some emails that were just the strangest emails you've ever heard. One person even wrote to me from the dead about certain things in Kirkland. And I've never received an email. I don't even know how you do that. I have to send an email from the grave. But I would coin almost a new term, is that we have a very engaged but disengaged citizen. It's great to play in the realm of the public process and work with us, but you also have to do your homework. You have to help us because you understand the problem. And you just can't write to me, as one person did, and said, "Dear Mr. Mayor," he came from out of the high-tech sector. He says, "I have a suggestion for you. Basically, it's this. Just get a letter that you can send out to developers, and it says, 'Dear Mr. Developer, either develop only two-story buildings in town or get out.'" Well, that was it. And they signed his name, and that was all. And that's nice. I might be able to kind of think about that. But on the other hand, that's not bringing anything to the table that's going to help the discussion. So if you want to be engaged, if you want to talk to us as citizens, as neighborhood people, you must make sure you understand what the realities of some of the issues that we're dealing with. So thank you. I think we have enough time for questions, do we not, Bill?
Yes, we do. So who would like to start? There we go. Brenda Nunes. And then Daryl? Oh, okay, we have a question over there. Okay.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for coming.
You are welcome.
Quick question. Washington State is one of the few states in the nation that has no real tax increment financing program. And at the state level, some of our legislators recently went on record saying that they didn't want to do it at the state level because then it was just kind of a pork sending the money home to your people for votes, but that they would support it if it was done on a local level. Do you have a position? Does the city council have a position on that?
We have been interested in TIF. I certainly know the city manager who grew up with TIF in California knows well of the power of it, the positive power of it. Now, there are cases, and that's why it's a constitutional issue with the state. It can be terribly abused. We tend to move around it in cities with kind of things that look like TIF. The fact that we would put millions of dollars into Totem Lake and finance it with a sales tax stream off of Totem Lake kind of feels and smells like tax incremental financing. What is the danger side of it, we would have to look at thoroughly at the council level, is that any project like Totem Lake, which is a good illustration because when we first started talking about it, I think half of the $1.5 million we needed to service the debt, the $15 million that we were putting down as a partner, would have to be serviced from $1.5 million would service the debt on the $15 million, and we would still have about $700,000 afterwards for city general fund. With the diminishing of that project in terms of the scope of the retail, we'd probably want to go back with the calculator and say, are we going to get enough to cover the debt? If a project fails and doesn't do as what we think it's going to do, or we go into a climate of this economy right now, if we don't get the sales tax off of the project, we take it out of the general fund. And so everybody else gets pushed back in line because we have to pay the interest on the debt. And that's the basic bottom line, I think, of tax incremental financing.
Jim, I saw the hello. Thank you for joining us today. I know the agenda just was issued for the council meeting next week, and one of the items on the agenda is the agenda for your retreat. Could you specifically talk about the challenge of the budget, and if there's some simple low-hanging fruit that you could share, if it's appropriate, how you wrestle with the deficit that's out there today?
Well, Joe and folks, I think a lot of the low-hanging fruit is on the ground and rotting right now. I think it's gone. I don't think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit in any city budget. We have real hard choices to make. What really frightens us, and we'll be looking at it before the retreat. We're going to have to, and I'll tell you why. And folks that I work with and for have heard this before, and it's just my opinion. When you take a look at the November-December economy, those are the 2 months in sales tax dollars that the state gives us, November in January and December in February. So we know we're going to have a very tough January and February, okay? We heard some figures yesterday, but I didn't hear the exact statistic nationally. Has anyone can shout it out of what retail sales did in December nationally? I heard that they're terrible. So that figure, January and February, adds up to almost 18% of our total sales tax budget on a year. So if you fall into a hole in January and February, you're going to have a hard time digging out. If you just want to be even, or if you want to get to our 1.73 decline in our budget, what we plan in sales tax, it's going to be very, very difficult. Also planned into the budget is $2.5 million voted tax on utilities. So we are sort of betting on the come, and we're discussing this right now, exactly what our strategy would be. Those are the two big issues that we will have to deal with immediately after seeing January and February and how big of a hole we've dug. As I keep hearing further and further from the economists that I read, problems that, no, 2010 is looking okay, but maybe not. 2009, I don't think there's an economist out there that thinks there's anything that's going to change in 2009. So we have a lot of work to do to dig further potentially and find new expenditure cuts potentially. Potentially. Tom, am I okay on that? Mr. Ramsey? Marilyn? Okay, everybody's nodding, so I was okay. Betty?
Yeah. First, I was going to say those were fun years at the chamber.
Yes, they
some
were.
Some time ago. So here's my question. Right before the election, I saw an interview, Barack Obama. The interviewer was saying, you know, this was like the day before the election, said, you sure you want this job? You know, you got all these things wrong. You know, we all know the big list that's facing him. And he just kind of leaned back with a big smile and said, you know, it's times like this you can really make change.
Right.
When things are going good, you work around the edge. But it's times like this that you really have the opportunity to change priorities, make institutional changes. So I guess my question is for Kirkland, what kind of opportunities and what kind of institutional changes and what kind of shift in priority are you potentially thinking about given it's a tough time?
Right. We're pushed to the,
where are the opportunities
we're
along
pushed
with the
to
challenges?
The wall. We're going to be pushed to the wall further.
Right.
And I think there isn't a council member and staff that doesn't welcome the times that we're in because maybe we can really affect more permanent change for the future, the sustainable budget at this point. I think we did a good budget. There's some issues, I know, but we did a good budget, and I voted for it. The issue, though, that we have a potential million and a half of further sales tax erosion in that year beyond what the plan says of 2009 and potentially in the next year maybe not have a utility tax would be serious problems that we're going to have to look to find those kinds of revenues. But you're right. I don't have real detail for you, Betty, but you're right. We'll have to dig deeper, and those cuts will have to be cuts that are part of our life and how we live in Kirkland. We, across the state, across the country, we have a gradual regression of a lifestyle that we once had. We were lucky to have experienced it, Betty, but I don't think folks in America will see that come back any too soon. Am I being depressing? There's a economist that I like to read. His name is Noriel Boriani, and he was out of New York University. I went there, so he has to be good. But he was kind of a fruitcake a decade ago. No one listened to him. But if you go back and read what he was reading, he was so perfectly on target with what's happening today. It's scary, and he predicted that to perfection in 2006. And I've read it. He's called Dr. Doom. And those of you who know me, I'm always walking around talking like Eeyore and saying we're basically doomed. Right, Gigi? You haven't heard me talk like Eeyore for an old, we're just not going to have a very good budget. So, but I think that's it's a good thing to rattle you with and say, you know, maybe things are tougher than we think. And I kind of lean to that side of things anyway, just by nature. Betty, was that an answer or a great soft shoe dance?
Well, I guess I would say that, you know, I don't know anybody who's partying because of the economy, but I do know people who feel that we've lived with too much excess. Hmm? Maybe now is the time to remind ourselves.
Absolutely.
And so I guess I sort of see some opportunity
yes.
at every level, whether it's your own personal family yeah. budget, all the way on up to the federal government. And I'm thrilled that we have an incoming president who's looking for opportunities. It's a tough job. It's a tough job you guys have. But, you know, what, as well as sort of accounting for the gloom and doom, I would just wonder and would encourage the city of Kirkland to look at the ways that you can rebalance in a way that provides a different kind of lifestyle, but maybe one that may even be better than it.
And I think we will do that. And I think the important message that I had earlier is that we need to really address the Redmond model potentially of priorities in government. We need the citizens to help us say, you're okay not to water and mow the parks. We're okay with a little different standard here. But it's a very severe cut in the Kirkland level of service. So, no, I'm not celebrating yet, but I certainly know the spirit that, hey, we can really affect good change in these times. It's just not a council or a city administration that comes up with a new philosophy kind of on their own. You're right. Another question. Got time.
I've got the microphone here.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm kind of hiding behind the column. I know that you and the council are familiar with the writings and the work of Richard Florida, The Rise of the Creative Class,
yes.
The philosophy that there is another breed of people who take this kind of economy and maybe along the lines of what Betty was saying, that we start thinking about choices in using technology and doing things in new ways and actually capitalizing on what's happening. I just wondered if there's any thinking along those lines going on with council.
City manager has read the book, has yeah. lectured us about the book a couple of years ago, several years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We haven't had that tacit discussion, but I think hidden somewhere in my enthusiasm for the Park Place, Ellen Miller Wolf economic development discussion was this is not a gentrification thought process here, because we are a diverse, multiracial, religious economy here in Kirkland, and you just can't believe how diverse we are. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing wrong in making sure that we have that type of worker brought into Kirkland that can enjoy the aspects of living a life that is well served by the public sector. That's the part, Betty, also that I'm really thrilled about, I do celebrate, is that maybe we're beginning to return more to a thought process of the public sector, because the public sector does provide for us. And I got the message straight when I visited Google and others that said, you know, this is a cool town, Jim. If we don't have a cool town, we're not going to be able to move people here. And when you take a look at the young kids, drink a beer last night, it's that group of highly intelligent, creative people around the high-tech sector that with nonchalance can create and can make a better society, and they have a whole different view of what they want. They love Kirkland, but they don't want to have massive amounts of traffic jams. They're not interested in roads. They're interested in public transit. So there is a rejuvenation, I believe, in that generation. My generation can't solve it. They can, and they can do it better than we would have.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. I really do think one of the reasons for being positive and uplifted right now is young people.
Yes.
Anyway, I just wanted to hear what you
Thank
had
you.
To think
Thank
about
you.
That.
We can't stress that enough. I sat there, and this one kid, he says, why did you allow this to happen on the roads? And I didn't, but David Irons did. I guess he was at the county then. And he says, look, we need to get to work, and what we're not going to do, this is one of their junior, younger than my son, technicians and said, we will get to work by running, walking, skateboarding, bicycling, paths, whatever, but we're not going to sit in a single occupant vehicle idling on the bridge. I got it, you know. And when we, with the chambers, when we had this great debate that went on, and it's still going on, we're settled with what we want in a new bridge. But sitting there thinking about that in terms of what is it that we can build in a bridge, and many of us were disappointed that we couldn't put public transit rail on 520 from the get-go or provide for it. And that's still undetermined. And I think it was Fred Jarrett who was sitting next to me, and he and I had said something very similar to what we're talking about, and he finally said, you know, my generation, our generations cannot possibly do this, so let's forget it. Another generation right out in front of us will figure out how to put a rail across the lake and get to work where they need to go to work out in Microsoft or in the East Side or in Kirkland. He did say that.
One more question?
Val. Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to get an update as to what the council's position is, maybe outlook for the development of the Kirkland Totem Lake Mall.
Oh, I had kind of a dark conversation with a gentleman at your table back there from Triad. I have my opinions. We're all kind of divided on what's happening. It's been a very difficult dark period of darkness where we don't hear much. Well, City Manager, when was the last time we heard from the DDR? Oh,
3-4 months ago.
3-4 months ago. Yeah. Yeah, so there's promises. Big meeting this Friday, maybe. And then Friday comes and goes. We don't know anything. My opinion that this is going to be a tough one. I'm just standing here alone with that. I've been a retailer all my life. I know the folks at Target. I know the folks at Kohl's. And I know how they think. They grew up with me. And that is, at best, a tertiary opportunity in retail. So we have to have fairly darn good times for someone to make a development, to bring a lease that's signed by a Target, because they have to also fund about $200+ million in inventory and another $100 million probably in fixtures and finishing up the store. Now, they just don't go to the bank and pull it out like you. They get that out of the money financial markets. That's not easy today. You could probably do it, but by golly, you'll do it for some other more strategic venue than maybe Totem Lake. And I think that's what we're fighting. Now, if the economy, our agreement's to 2012, right, so far? Marilyn, do you recall? Yeah, I think it's around 2012 when we anniversary the paperwork. But, you know, could things be better by 2010, 2011, 2012? We'll hope so. We hope, but someone else may come along with a whole different idea. We've had people with different ideas on the property. So I'm probably gloomier than staff on that right now, but that's just my general demeanor on that piece of property. It's very sad. It's indeed sad.
Well, thank you, Jim, for meeting with us today. Let's give Jim a hand. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate it.